What's good? We in the hood. I'm Fi. I'm Thy. The Sky. What's good? What's good, Pippin?
What's up?
Why you just say hello world?
What's up, world? It's your girl Sills. B A all day. To up, to down.
Let's bring it back. Because I'm Sky, I'm Fly. I'm from the Southwest ATL, where the players dwell, currently in the Southern California, where I'm beach blessed and fresh in the wild, wild west. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills, VA all day, two up, two down. First day in California.
Wow, look at you. You were about to say I'm in the Pacific Northwest.
I was. I'm so used to saying it, and that's not true anymore because I just paid rent, so that's very much not true. And who, so, I'm here.
And who are we? Who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
And so in this special episode, we got a special guest.
Ooh, we do.
So, special guest, say hey to the people, special guest Simone Charlie.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey.
We got, wait, hold on. We had a whole name for you. We had like the legend.
Queen. I said queen of the fadeaway header.
Yeah, there we go. Out here, put it on a shirt.
I need you to know, I saw that goal in person because you played my team and we were all like trying not to go ballistic in the press box. That was ridiculous.
That was fire.
Goal.
I was like,
oh, that was nice.
I appreciate it. Fadeaway header, I love that.
All right, so wait, you got to rep where you from. What is it that you claim? What is the city?
Ooh, Hoover, Alabama, all the way.
Okay, question. Because that is outside of Birmingham.
Yes, it is.
Do you rep Hoover? Or are you like, is it like Hoover? Is it like a,
is there like a nickname?
Don't act. Is it like a nickname? Because you know Atlanta got A-Town. Wait, don't do that. Because people going to come and slander me. ATL, all kinds of stuff. The SWAT, Southwest Atlanta Too Strong. Is there something for Hoover or nah?
Nah, it's just Hoover. Like,
okay.
Yeah. She's like, I wish we had a good name like H-Town or something, but that's Houston. So
okay, that's true. Hoover. The Hoove. I'm just playing. Fair. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Does Birmingham have a nickname?
Yeah.
Beeham. But mostly folks just say Birmingham. Like,
do y'all like claim Birmingham a little bit or not?
Yeah, I feel like most of the time people ask where I'm from, I'll be like, Hoover, near Birmingham. Like, I alternate the near Birmingham because folks don't know Hoover, but they know Birmingham.
Okay, I have to do that for my hometown. I have to be like, I'm 20 minutes south of Richmond because people don't know where that is. So, yeah, I feel that.
Okay, I feel that. But like, in Atlanta, is like, if you ain't from Atlanta proper, you ain't from Atlanta.
There's a whole song about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's real. But anyway, in this episode, we're going to do multiple segments. So in segment one, we're going to do Brown Sugar but Soccer. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Simone about what made her fall in love with soccer.
And then we're going to, in section two, talk about, we're going to do Shea Butter Lights, Camera, Action, where we look back on some of Simone's career so far and her expectations as a member of Angel City Football Club.
And then in segment three, we're going to talk about some Get Your Fist Right. We're going to explore Black culture and soccer. Specific twist.
I love that. And then lastly, we hit Simone with a little Shea Butter freestyle. So just exploring more about Simone's interests. And you might want to think of some musical selections, Simone.
Because there's a thing called hits.
Might be a question.
Yeah, this might be a little question. So All right. So let's get into segment one, because it's Brown Sugar but Soccer. Yes. So in reference to the popular movie Brown Sugar, featuring Sanaa Lathan as Sydney Shaw and Taye Diggs as Dre Ellis. Instead of what made you fall in love with hip hop, when did you fall in love with soccer, Simone Charlie?
Ooh. I would say I fell in love as soon as I started playing the game. Like, I started playing when I was 5 years old. And I remember just like every weekend, like in the rec league, you'd play games on Saturday. And I'd be so excited on Friday night that I like couldn't sleep because I'd be so excited just to play on Saturday. And I think for me, it was just like, it was just fun, like just running around, kicking the ball. Like, I don't know, for some reason, it was just like love at first kick, I guess. For me. So,
I love the image of little Simone running around the pitch. Absolutely. And when you were growing up, did you have a favorite player or players?
Yeah, I would say one of my favorite players growing up was Marta. Just like her creativity, like, was unmatched. And I remember watching her in the, I want to say it's the 2007 World Cup. Broke out on the, she had that, there's this point in the game where she like was stuck in the corner and Cruyff megged someone and ran around them. Yes. And I remember just like my jaw dropped. And I was like, that's who I want to be like when I grow up.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep. Yes.
We are big Marta fans, so we absolutely get that. Marta, have you gotten to meet Marta?
Yeah, actually, so we just played Orlando the other day, or literally like 2 days ago, and I'm still a fangirl every time. I would say last year in particular, we played Orlando. I think that was actually my first time playing Orlando, and I remember just like standing on the field, and obviously she's on the other side, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm on the same field as Marta. Like, this is what dreams are made of.
That's amazing. So,
yeah.
All right. So I do have a question, because you grew up in Hoover, Alabama. So before we ask a soccer question in regards to this, because you were in the state of Alabama, is it Roll Tide or War Eagle? Or is there no choice?
So, War Eagle all the way.
I think okay. Oh, okay.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect Auburn.
Okay. I see that. All right.
My sister did track at Auburn. So, I have to say War Eagle.
I feel you.
Okay. I feel that. Okay. So then, what was it like growing up in Hoover and playing soccer?
I loved it. I think Hoover is like very like typical small town feel. I feel like everyone knows everyone. Like, if I go to Walmart, I'm gonna run into someone from school or someone I know. But I really enjoyed just like my club soccer experience. My like high school soccer, I think, was the biggest thing for me that I felt like I really came into my own. I had a really good high school soccer coach, Robert Starr, who just like really knew how to like bring out the best in me and really challenge me to be the best player that I could be. And so I think for me, high school soccer was a pivotal moment, because I think for me, actually, I would say club soccer was more tumultuous and kind of up and down in my soccer journey. And I feel like once I started playing in high school for our high school team, that is kind of what changed the trajectory of my career.
Okay. So did you have diverse teams while playing, whether it be club or in school?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
That's a whole nother thing. Yeah. I would say, like, for me, that I feel like was part of the challenge of like playing soccer in Hoover, Alabama. Or I think the soccer world in general is a very white place.
Yeah.
And so I think, for the most part growing up, I was always one of the only Black girls on my team. That I feel like, especially in like middle and high school, when you're like learning about who you are and learning about yourself, I think that was a really hard time for me of just like figuring out myself as a Black girl and my space in this world, but then I'm constantly surrounded by white girls who have like a different life experience. And it's just like, I feel like that part was a little challenging.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you touched on it briefly when you and Angela did the interview that I wish was longer, but yeah, that seems to be the story we get more than not, unfortunately. But I'm glad you had a really good coach and a really good high school experience. Just typically the other way around. Okay. And I know you get this question. So you also ran track. throughout your youth and in college. What made you choose soccer, and did track and field influence how you play this sport, and like how did that influence how you play soccer?
Yeah, so I started playing soccer and running track almost at the same time. I started soccer when I was 5 and then track when I was 6. And so, yeah, I just kind of always stuck with those two. I was a triple jumper and that's what I did in college as well.
Mm.
But I think for me, I just like, I always liked soccer more. Like, I think for me, that was kind of where my heart always was.
Okay.
But I do think I learned so many valuable lessons through track. Like, I think it just being an individual sport, you're forced to just like learn about yourself, because you're not really like in soccer, I feel like you're more so competing against other people. Like, I'm literally going head to head with the defender, taking someone on 1v1, like all of that. Whereas like track, it's literally just you versus you. Like you're on the track by yourself. Like, no one is going to like, I'm not in the middle of a jump and someone like elbows me off the like runway. And so I think for me, just the mental aspect was something that track challenged me in, of just like, I think the biggest thing is paying attention to details, because the margin of victory in track is so small. You can just like, you can win or lose by a centimeter or a millisecond. And so like everything you do matters. And I think that like meticulousness is something that has helped me in soccer, because soccer is a lot more subjective, but at the end of the day, it comes down to like those objective details of like your first touch and like, was it close to your body? Was it not? Like, did you get your head up? Like, those little things separate like good players from great players. And so I think just like learning to pay attention to the details and value the details is something, a lesson that I learned from track that I've carried to soccer.
I loved everything about that answer. Yeah. I was just laughing when you said it's a matter of like inches or like milliseconds or anything. I'm like, unless you're Sid McLaughlin, it doesn't matter. But yeah.
What is, she makes it stand still. Like,
I don't understand. She doesn't sweat. Like, I don't get it.
She's not even tired at the end of the race.
She wasn't tired. I was like,
yeah, even when she's talking, she's not tired. And then she's jumping over her, like, what?
She's gonna break 50. It's gonna happen. Oh, but okay.
I'm waiting for her to run the open four. That's what
I think that's what she's doing.
Yeah, I think that's what she's about to do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be horrible.
She runs a 47 in the open four. I might just fall out.
That's fair.
Yeah, because she's doing all this while running hurdles.
Right. She had the seventh fastest 400 time flat in the hurdles. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so no hurdles, that's gonna be wild. Yeah. All right, yeah, so you played soccer and ran track at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. I said all that because my family, portions of my family live in Nashville, still in Nashville.
And shout out to Nubia, because I think their parents went to Vanderbilt.
Yeah. So what made you choose to be a Commodore? And then what are your best memories of playing soccer up there?
Oh. So I think a couple things. Honestly, I wasn't highly recruited coming out of high school. So I didn't have a ton of choices. I feel like it was more of I chose Vanderbilt than Vanderbilt chose me. I was already interested in going to Vandy because just like academically, it's would be academically challenging, and like it's a quality education. And so I literally went and like visited just like as a regular student, and like went on the tour and everything, and just like fell in love with the school. And I ended up going to the soccer coach's office like after the tour and just like knocking on his door being like, hey, you don't know me, my name is Simone, I play soccer, I really like this school, I would love to play here, but like, yeah. And he was just like, oh, okay, nice to meet you. I think the head coach wasn't even there, it was like our assistant coach. And they're just kind of like, yeah, okay, well, nice to meet you, but like, we haven't seen you play. But like, thanks for stopping by. And then a couple months later, I'd actually, the high school coach that I was telling you about, I reached out to him because I was just like, Vanderbilt, like, they said they'd really need to see me play if I can, like, to see if I could, like, be on their team. And so he ended up, like, finding a guest, a team that I could just, like, guest play for. And so I ended up, like, joining a team for the Disney Cup, which is, like, a tournament. And then just, like, emailing Vanderbilt and being, like, please come to my game. I would, like, please, here's my schedule. Like, I'll be there. And they ended up coming to my game. And, yeah, it kind of, like, that kind of started the beginning of, like, the recruiting process. And then I guess track ended up falling into place shortly after that. Honestly, this whole thing was like a God thing, but just like after doing my visit at Vandy and being offered a scholarship, then the coach just kind of asked me like, oh, we know you run track. Like, is that something you want to do too? And I was like, yeah, like, I didn't have the guts to ask because I was like, I've barely just skated in to get a scholarship. So I have the audacity to be like, oh, can I do this whole other sport? And so just for him to like ask, I was like, say less, that's definitely it. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I ended up at Vandy. And then you said a good memory I have on the soccer field there was the other question, correct?
Yes.
I would say one of my favorite memories would be probably from my senior year of high or not high school of at Vandy. We had gotten a new coach after my sophomore year, Darren, and he essentially turned the program around. It was a very hard process, but he just like has done so much just for the program. And like my first two seasons, we like didn't make the SEC tournament. We're like towards the bottom of the SEC, and like by my senior year, we like made it, I think, to like the second round of the SEC tournament, and then ended up going to the NCAA tournament and winning in the first round for like the first time in like, I think it was like 21 years or something. It was like before the freshmen were born.
Oh no.
We were like, yeah. And so just like we went, I think it was Ohio State that we played. So like going to Ohio State, and they were like ranked pretty high, and like beating them in their own stadium in the freezing cold was just like a moment I will never forget. So
yeah. That's awesome. That's a very vivid memory.
Like, yeah, that's
much better memory than I do about most things in my life. Speaking of Vanderbilt, right? One thing it's known for is the rigors of its academics. And while you were there, you were pursuing a double major and playing two sports. So first of all, what? And two, what was the environment like going from your home to college, and how did you balance all of that?
Yeah. So I was a psychology and sociology major, which I loved. I actually kind of stumbled into the sociology. I like really wanted to do psychology, but then I kept taking social classes and I was like, wow, this is so interesting, and kept taking them and kept taking them. And then my advisor was like, you might as well just major in it because you keep taking all these classes. But yeah, I feel like it was challenging, but I think just the biggest thing I learned is just like time management is the biggest thing. And I feel like, yes, it can be challenging, like playing two sports and doing a double major. But I think because I was forced to be disciplined with my time, like I'm left with no choice. I think it almost makes it easier in a way, because it's like I have a finite amount of time to study and a finite amount of time for like training and everything like that. So it's just like, you're very structured, and I feel like I like structure. So yeah.
All right, so we're gonna go into the second segment now. It's a little bit of lights, camera, action, looking at a little bit more of your professional career, including your time currently with Angel City. So I'll kick us off on this one, So you talked about your favorite moment at Vanderbilt in very lovely detail. Your first professional team was the Portland Thorns. So do you have, and we ask everybody this, do you have a welcome to the league moment, either on the giving end or the receiving end with the Thorns?
Yeah. I think my whole first year in Portland was a welcome to the league. yeah, because I wasn't drafted out of college. I just got a call from Mark a couple of days after the draft, and he's like, yeah, you can come and try out, but we can't guarantee you everything or guarantee you anything. And I think, yeah, I came and I tried out and I didn't make it my first year. And so I feel like the entire 2018 was like, welcome to the pros, Simone. Like getting my butt kicked at training every day and just trying to like grind through it all. And so that whole year was a welcome, I think, for me.
Yeah, and I think your story is amazing, right? Like you did, like you said, you went undrafted and you busted your behind, and you're also talented and you made it. I do have a question, just because I feel like everybody gets asked this question. Did you get megged by Tobin?
Oh, of course. Okay. Without question. The rite of passage.
That's what it feels like. It feels like just
a little character building.
Yeah.
Yeah, character. Yes.
Awesome. I just like always asking that question because I feel like I haven't heard a no yet. So it's very funny. okay. And then do you have a favorite game or a favorite moment from your time with the Thorns?
Ooh. I would say one moment that comes to mind would be, I would say my very first game in Providence Park. Yeah, because that game, that was like when they just redone the stadium and it was like packed out. And I think after a year of just like training with the team and just telling myself like, one day you'll be on the field and like one day you'll be able to like be the one playing, and to like, finally that moment comes, and I end up getting two assists in that game too. So it was literally just like, it was like a Disney moment. Like, yes. My dreams felt like they came true in that. And yeah, that was definitely a really special moment for me.
Awesome.
Oh, that's what's up.
And this is my last question of the segment. You also in 2019-2020 are part of it. Went to Canberra United and you scored 5 goals in 11 matches and you were named by the club supporters as Canberra of the Year. One, what is the nickname? Or I don't know if they have a nickname. And two, what do you have a favorite moment or game from your time in Australia?
Wait, can you repeat your first question?
Sure. So you spent part of your 2019-2020 season at, is it Canberra? Am I saying that right? United?
Yeah, Canberra.
Canberra, okay. And so you scored 5 goals in 11 matches there and you were named by their supporters as Canberra of the Year. Do you have a favorite game or a favorite moment from your time with that club as well?
Ooh, yeah. That's kind of hard, actually, because I really loved my time in Australia. I think my teammates are what made it special. Like, we all got along so well. Like, some of my good, like, closest friends are from that team. Like, I still keep up with a lot of those girls.
Cool.
I'm trying to think. I would say off the field, one of my favorite things was teaching them Thanksgiving. Because,
oh, wow.
Not a thing in Australia, obviously. And so just like trying to make people like, you know, like, so you sit around and you just eat a whole bunch of food. Like, okay. Like, I think that was really fun. But I would say on the fields, I would say my first game was pretty exciting, just like getting that opportunity on the field and I was able to like get 2 goals in that game, so I was pretty excited about it, and just like having a fun welcome to Canberra was I would say that was probably one of my favorite moments on the field.
Word. Nice. All right, so as people know, I'm an Angel City FC supporter. So you got selected in the Angel City FC expansion draft. And you've been playing with this team beyond halfway point of the season. Yeah, the season is flying. What has it been like to play with a club that is starting from the beginning? And then what have you looked forward to? I guess, what are you looking forward to as this season is coming to a close?
Yeah, I think playing with an expansion team, it's been good but challenging. I feel like there's always challenges that comes with being on an expansion team because nothing's been done before, if that makes sense. So I feel like it's all about like carving your own path, like establishing your own tradition, establishing your own standards, like literally building from the ground up. And so I feel like I've been challenged in ways that I didn't foresee, but it's been good. Like, I've enjoyed it. I feel like our team, like just the culture that we've been building and the way that we've been able to come together through some pretty challenging times, I've been proud of us. And so, yeah, I would say it's definitely been challenging, but the good kind of challenge. And then you said as the season closes, things I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to over the course of the rest portion of this season? I guess with Angel City.
Yeah. Well, hopefully finishing out the season strong. That's like the goal.
Word.
Yeah. So I think for us, we're just like trying to like get ready for this last, 2 month push, because we have a lot of games kind of like back to back to back. And so, yeah, I think for us, it's just about trying to dig our heels in and be ready for the grind.
Okay. And then last couple of questions. So you're playing on a team that's super diverse and it's actually got a lot of Black players. And so what is it like playing on a team with so many Black players, staff? And then additionally, what is your favorite part about being a part of the Los Angeles community so far?
Yeah. Well, first, I love the diversity that we have on the team. That's like something I've not really ever experienced in my soccer career. And so I love that because it's just like, it's how soccer should be. Like, soccer is the world's game and it should be a reflection of the world. And so to be on a team that actually is diverse, it's exciting. And it's a cool mix, I think, of like just different cultures in general. And then, sorry, could you say your second question again?
And then what is it? So then what is it like also being a part of the LA community? Because, by the way, what you said, Sills is just typing on this document. That was an amazing answer. Because, like, yeah, soccer should be super diverse. And, like, even being a supporter and being a fan where I've noticed that it's super white, noticing the diversity on the team, I have always wanted to ask Black players on the team how they felt. So that was a dope answer. But what is it like? What was your favorite part about being out here in Los Angeles, being a part of the community, whether it be the community, you know, if it's Los Angeles itself or even supporter culture too?
Yeah. I feel like I'm still learning more about Los Angeles community because I feel like I've been doing so much soccer that I haven't been able to like be as involved as I would like to.
True.
I feel like though I do appreciate the supporter culture, like our games are unreal. Just like being able to like play at the bank is a privilege. And I feel like I just feel incredibly blessed every time I'm on that field and like look up and see it's just like packed out, like chants for 95 minutes or however much stoppage time. Like, it's unreal. And so I'm just like incredibly grateful just to even have this experience, because I know that this is rare. And yeah, I think for me, that's one of the most exciting parts. I think LA as a city is pretty cool. Like, you can't be bored here. Like, there's always something going on. Like,
word, that's true.
Right? Or even just like, I was talking to Jazz about it, because like, growing up in Alabama, like, concerts and stuff, like, never had, like, I would always have to look and see, like, oh, are they going to Atlanta? Mm-hmm. Are they going to Nashville? Or like, are they going to like what close place are they going mm-hmm. to? Because they're not coming to Hoover. Like, whereas here it's just like, oh no, it's not if they're coming, it's like when. Like, oh, when are they coming to LA? And like, you can literally see and experience it all. So I really like that part about the city.
Like, so has it, I mean, let me ask this question, because you Southern, you from the South. Like, has it, have you liked that, the vibe of LA from, because I mean, I guess we're living in Portland, you lived in Portland too, but have you liked the vibe of LA being, having grown up in Alabama and been in the South?
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah.
Like, different from what I'm used to. I think obviously living in Portland, it's not as big of a culture shock because I've been on the West Coast for a little minute now. But compared to Alabama, yes, it's very different in a lot of ways. But even just like the pace of life, like, I think things are just like slower in Alabama. I think folks are just like, you know, there's just like Southern hospitality and all of those things, which, I mean, it's not necessarily not here, but I think it's just different.
Yeah, yeah, it's different. It's very different. Yeah, I'm preparing Sills because she just moved out here. So yeah, yeah, it's
literally just moved here. So yeah.
But all right, so we're about to take the commercial break, and then we're gonna get into two more segments. So we'll see y'all in a second. Shout out to them people. Ah! Mad ethnic right now. Well, hold on.
Thank you.
Wait, my cursor just stopped. Uh-oh. We're back. I am back. We're back. All right.
We are back.
So wait, who's starting this? Is it me? Yeah, it's probably me.
No, I think I'm starting this one.
Sorry. Oh, okay. All right. Starting.
Okay. So we are back. And we're now going to get into the Get Your Fits Right segment of the show, by popular demand, I guess, where we explore Black culture and soccer and its intersections. So I will start. So Simone, when you were in Portland, you worked with Mimi's Fresh Teas, which is a Black-owned business there. What was the motivation behind that collaboration for you? And are there ways you see more Black-owned businesses getting involved with the NWSL and its players?
Yeah, I loved working with Camila Adams and Mimi's Fresh Teas. One thing that I just really appreciated about just like the work that she's doing is like, she saw a problem, and instead of just like being mad about it, she's like, no, I'm gonna do something about it. It was just, her kids were experiencing racism in school, as most Black kids do. And that's what was kind of her reasoning for starting her t-shirt line, because she was just like, I want to get the conversation about racism going, and so what's a better way to start that conversation than putting it on a t-shirt? And I just loved that and wanted to like support her mission, and so just being able to like partner with her through Portland and with the Verizon Community Shield was really cool. And just seeing how much her like business has grown since then has been, it's just been really cool to watch. And that's definitely something that I hope for in the NWSL, is that it partners a lot more with Black-owned businesses, because I think that's so, like, there, especially as there's more Black players in the league, like, I just think it's so important that the Black community is valued in the way that it should have been all along. But yeah, that's definitely something that I think needs to happen.
Word.
All right, so your maternal lineage is maceration, if I said that correctly. have you ever thought about what it would be like to incorporate some of your culture or heritage into your on the pitch fashion?
Ooh.
See, different interview.
Wait, no, I haven't.
Until now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know my mom and dad are gonna listen to this.
Oh no, I forgot about that.
Yes, so that's something I think we're all gonna brainstorm now, because I've actually never thought of that.
What are some of the like big cultural I guess markers or things that we might notice or we're not notice, I should say?
Yeah.
Is the island famous for anything in particular?
Trying to think. I feel like, because you're saying like in fashion, I can't really think of anything in particular. I would say maybe like the music I listen to pregame. But I feel like I already kind of listen to like soca music. Mm-hmm. And I do like Afrobeats, which isn't Caribbean, but I do love Afrobeats.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I'd have to like think on that more. That's a really good question.
All right. I'm going to charge you and the parents who, again, thank you for listening to our show with some brainstorming there.
Wait. So, okay. Wait. Before we leave that though, from a kid perspective though, what would you like to see from styles and design on kids? And even for a potential collaboration, if I said Simone Charlie, give me kits, give me also cleats. What is there a vision you might have for a customized situation?
Ooh. That's a good question. I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I feel like I love, first of all, playing in all black, I think, is unrivaled. I just feel so like crisp and clean in all black.
Aren't you hot?
That's the price you pay sometimes. Right? Come on, Simone. Speak the gospel.
Right. It is the price of beauty. but I feel like I love it when like there's like small details that mean a lot. So I'm like, I don't really know exactly what details. Or do you mean like with the Angel City kit?
Oh no, any kit. Well, I mean, it could be Angel City, but it could be if you had a kit. If somebody said, "Hey, Simone, you get to design a kit, however you feel, whatever you like to vibe with. If you got particular colors, you got particular styles, or let's say you want a kit that you want to wear out in public." Any kind of vibes like that, like what kind of clothes do you like to vibe, like what are your kind of flavor for clothes, I guess?
I would say I'm like, I love like earth tones, like
natural
tones, like olive greens and like browns.
Speaking
and
my
stuff.
Language, yes.
Okay, so you want an olive green earth tone situation. Okay, we can get an earthy kit situation. Wait, is that same thing? So even like, what if you had cleats, or if you could customize some cleats, or even have cleats that then became shoes off the pitch? Wait, are you a sneakerhead or a shoe connoisseur like that?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not
okay. A sneakerhead.
Solidarity.
Why you gotta do that, Sills? Okay. But so would you mind like having earth tones and stuff in your cleats and in your shoes? Or
no, I feel like, because I feel like cleats are different. Like I like a jersey, but with like your boots, I feel like you need a pop of color. I love my favorite thing on like boots is when like the bottom part, like the plate, is like metallic, like if it's like metallic gold or something like that. Because when you're like running, it's just like gleaming, you know.
Let's go. Okay, okay, okay.
Little Maurice Green inspiration there.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Like, so you want your shoes, because like, I mean, I personally like my shoes to be so bright, you can see them in Mars. Like, you can see me like in another planet. So I feel that. So yeah, okay. So when you up here burn them down to then hit the headers of, what you call that? What did you, the fadeaway header. Okay, I see it. I see it in my head. That would be dope. Okay, so you listen to Soca, you listen to Afrobeats to actually answer one of the questions. Are there any kind of chants you would like to hear while you on the field? Like, if there is there a chant or a vibe that you could potentially like to hear or see, maybe from Black culture? I know I grew up in Atlanta, effectively on an HBCU campus, as my mom worked in the Atlanta University Center. But so Clark Atlanta, all them, like I'm a band geek. And so is Sills, who grew up Virginia State campus.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so like, are there any chants you would like to hear or any kind of vibes, like when you're in the on the field from folks in the stands?
I think it'd be dope if folks are swag surfing and they're playing swag surf.
Let's go!
Properly swag surfing.
So. Probably, yes. Yeah, because it can't be paddle boarding or river rafting. And so, yeah, I'll make sure. Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? AC Panama. Oh, y'all hear this? Y'all hear this? Okay, okay. Yes. I've been trying to, yeah, okay. So you want to hear some swag surfing? Okay, okay. Actually, that's a good point to a question Sills got right now.
It is. So you mentioned, obviously, some of the music you listen to pregame, some soca, some Afro beats. One, is there any other music that you listen to? And do you think there's a way to incorporate some of that into chants or other things that the supporters groups can do?
Ooh. I would say I listen to a lot of rap music before games.
Okay.
Do you have artists?
Yeah.
I feel like I listen to a little bit of everything. Okay. As far as like, I feel like there's not like one art. I listen to Meg. I listen to Cardi. pregame. But I also really like J. Cole and Meek Mill and like.
Okay.
Dreams and Nightmares would get me very hype.
What? Oh, you can't
get me very hype.
You can't miss. That's like a you have to, a must.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel like as far as like how that could be incorporated into chants, I'm not exactly sure. Oh, actually, I feel like something cool could be done with Dreams and Nightmares. Like, I don't know what, but I feel like something cool.
I'm going to write that down.
You're gonna pontificate on that. Okay. I agree. We gotta think it through, but I agree.
Also, we also have this thing because we have Shea Butter, we have vocabulary. So Shea Butter bombs are if you score as a Black player, assist if you know, or call Shea Butter doms. So if you had a goal celebration song, what would it sound like? Or is there a song that could be the instrumental or vibe for you celebrating a goal? So if you hit that fadeaway header.
Yeah. Maybe this is where swag surf will come in. Like I run to the corner flag and then the whole crowd starts swag surfing and then we like play that.
At the bank, that would be fire.
Fire. Ooh. Write that down.
Okay. You need to lead a tutorial before that happens. So
I'm gonna get my whistle.
Not the whistle. I hate few things more than I hate that whistle. So
because normally we were doing like before Angel City games, we've been doing tailgates, and I did have a swag. We had a swag surf tutorial.
We did.
And there was a whistle. Hey. So yeah, we can make this happen for you. We got you. I see the vision.
Absolutely.
The last question for the section. I think you
I do. I have one more question. So Simone, one of your signatures is your lovely hair. So how do you manage that in game And are there any hair accessories you'd like to see on the pitch?
Ooh. Well, first, thank you. I would say, yeah, my go-to is a puff. I feel like being natural. Unfortunately, I'm a lazy natural, so.
Same, it's okay.
I do the bare minimum at times, but I would say the puff is definitely my go-to and my favorite. I normally wear like a headband with it because part of the reason is because I sweat so much that my edges like can't stay laid.
Ooh, I understand.
I understand.
You're right. Or if I like try to use gel, it'll like I sweat too much, so it'll like run in my face and burn my eyes.
Is it eco gel?
I've tried it. No, I sweat too much. I've tried all kinds of gel, even like the Gorilla Snot.
Snot, not glue, right?
Yeah, not glue.
Not glue. Okay.
Have you tried the Talia Wally gel? They got like this aloe vera gel. I've been wondering, yeah. Because, you know, Atlanta, they got all the little hair products. There's a spot down here in the South Bay that has some fire stuff. But it's like an aloe apple gel that I've worked out with that seems fine. But then there's another gel called My Gel that, like, I use to retwist my hair because I got locks. But we can discuss this later.
Yeah. Now I'm interested, too. And my sister swears by Talia Budget. So, okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. Okay. So, you like the headbands. Okay. Would you want, like, a styled headband? Do you need you an Angel City situation headband?
That would be dope.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I have, like, my go-to one is just, like, a black Nike one that I wear. And, yeah, it's, like, a thicker one. I wear it covers my edges too, so when I'm sweating you can't tell.
I feel that. Gotta get a customized Simone Charlie headband. All right, well, hopefully we're getting into the last segment.
It is the last segment.
We promise. We know you've had a long day, a long journey home from the East Coast. This is a little more just about Shea Butter Freestyle, which is we're exploring your interests outside of football. And then we'll give you a chance to speak on anything that you want to share with the people. So again, going back to Vanderbilt, you also have a master's degree in medicine, health, and society. In addition to that, you started a series on your Instagram called Mental Health Chats with Other Black Women. What or why is your work around mental health so important to you? And do you have any plans with this for after your playing career?
Yeah, I think for me, mental health has been something that's always been important to me. I think after I'm done playing, I would like to be a clinical psychologist. And so hopefully more school after soccer. But I think for me, part of the reason why it's something that's important to me, especially last year, I lost a friend to suicide. And I think that's kind of like shaken my world in a lot of ways. And I feel like before then I was like, yeah, I care about mental health and I want to be a psychologist and all these things. But I think after that happened, that's when I was like, wait, no, this is really important. And more people need to be talking about this, and especially in the Black community, because I think that's something we don't talk about as often. And we have people just suffering in silence or think, oh no, we can't talk about it, or it's not cool to talk about it. And it's like, no, people are literally dying. And so that's kind of like what made me want to start doing those mental health chats for a bit on my social media. But yeah, I think it's just a topic that needs to be talked about more, because I think especially in the age of social media, we have like everyone's pretending that everything's fine and that life is good and all you see are people's highlights and the only thing you post are your highlights, but like you're what's the saying? It's like you compare your behind the scenes to everyone's highlight reel. Mm. And I think, yeah, it's literally people are dying. And so, yeah, mental health is something that's very near and dear to me.
Thank you very much for sharing that. I didn't want to say anything or unmute. I think that needed to be shared out. So truly, thank you for sharing that. It's not always easy. And speaking of your work with mental health, particularly in the Los Angeles community, you've teamed up with the California Black Women's Health Project. And for your 27th birthday, raised $2,700. So you've spoken obviously a little bit about what mental health means to you, but what has this partnership in particular meant to you? And do you want to share anything additional out to our audience right now?
Yeah. Well, it was really cool being able to work with the California Black Women's Health Project because of just how much the amazing work that they're doing, because there's huge health disparities between Black women and white women and literally everyone else due to a lot of, like, honestly, medical racism that there is. And so I think just seeing how they're trying to tackle that problem, but come from it not just like literally for all Black women, for Black girls, for teenagers, 20, like everyone, was something that when I saw that, I was like, yeah, I need to figure out like, how can I help? Like, what's one way that I could like help them in their work? And I think for me in particular, one program they have that I really liked was their Sisters Mentally Mobilized program. And it provides like mental health resources and mentoring for Black girls who are just struggling or need someone to talk to and need a Black woman who's been there before. And so, yeah, I think just seeing the work that they've been doing is something that was just really exciting for me. And it was just a blessing to just even play whatever small role I did in the incredible work that they're doing.
Word. Actually, I love that talk y'all did on Instagram. Like, I took so many notes. Like, I'm gonna be all up in that because I definitely need to find me a therapist out here and then use some of the other resources, because that's one of the big things. I was like, yo, how can I want to find a Black therapist and have the, like, you know, how does it then fit within my insurance? But yeah, that was really, really dope. So that's good to hear. And thank you for like doing those partnerships. All your mental health chats are dope.
Yeah, it's been like amazing to hear. And we really wanted to give you a chance to share that out, because you're doing great work. They're doing great work. And it's incredibly important.
Yeah. So for the last few questions. So do you like food?
What a question.
All right. So you've been in Nashville. You from Hoover. Do you have a food spot that you like in Nashville, Tennessee? I always ask this because while my family is living in Nashville, normally when I was there, my grandparents would cook. But now that I might be going back there, because my mom's trying to move up there in a couple years from Atlanta, I'm just wondering, do you have a food spot? If you go.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Okay, share with the people.
I would say Monell's.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Okay.
Yes.
That name sounds like that is a person that can cook. Sorry. Oh, no.
it's so good. It's literally, and the cool part is, so you go and you sit, they just have these big tables.
Yeah.
And you sit with just whoever else is there at the restaurant at the time, and they just bring out food and food and food. And the rules are that you just have to pass it to the left.
Yep.
And you can't be on your phone. Yep. And that's it.
Yeah, you eat
and talk.
Yeah, it's a Southern dining experience for sure.
Yes.
And do you have another? You said you had a couple. You got another one?
Slim and Huskies. They've been crushing it. It's a Black owned pizza place.
Okay.
And it's really good. I think they've actually started opening more. Like, I think there's some in, they opened one in Atlanta. Like, it's like now, like, crossing the border and stuff. Trying to think what else. Oh, and I love them too because they play like good music. Like it literally, you're there and you feel like you're at a cookout. Like it's like all the good music. Trying to think what else. Calypso is another good restaurant. It's like, I want to say like Cuban food.
Oh, that's okay. Cool. Ooh, okay.
And then, oh, Jamaica Way. That's another good one that has like Jamaican food.
I miss Jamaican food so much. Sorry.
Wait. So where is that one? That might be the spot my mom and my aunts go to.
There's that one.
Okay. That might be it.
There's another one on Elliston, I believe. Elliston Place.
Yeah, that might. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. good. That's good food. Yeah. Okay. So do you have a spot in, have you found a spot in LA yet? Or
I like, there's this place called Jam and Vegan that my mom's vegan, and so when she like helped me move in, we found this spot, and it's like Caribbean, like West Indian food, but they have like the vegan version and then obviously like regular version. Yeah, even their vegan ones, surprisingly, like their vegan, like curry goat and curry chicken and all that, it like hits. Ooh. And so then obviously then like their regular one, like curry goat and stuff, it's like, it hits. So 10 out of 10 recommend for it.
Okay, I gotta check that out. Is there a spot in Hoover? Or is it home cooking?
Home cook, yeah.
Okay.
My grandma's house.
What's your favorite home cooked meal? Or am I gonna get you in trouble?
My favorite home cooked meal. Actually, this isn't Southern food, but my dad is a really good cook, and he makes this like pizza that is like legendary. And he hasn't made it in a long minute. So, Dad, if you're listening to this, can I have someone, like, can you make that again when I come home?
Hey. What's on the pizza? Like, what's on it?
Ooh. So, it's, like, a thin crust pizza, and it'll have, like, Canadian bacon, pineapple. But then he, like, I don't know how he seasons, like, he does this, like, spinach, bell pepper, mushroom, like, sometimes shrimp, like, mix, but then he, like, seasons it a certain way, and then, like, layers that on the pizza, and, like, it's so good. I don't even know how to, like, it's the seasoning. He just puts his foot in it. So.
Okay, all right.
Okay, that sounds delicious. Like, if he's ever out here and there's extra, if you want to ship some over, that's fine.
Right.
That sounds amazing.
All right, and then the last thing we got hits and riffs. And so that segment, we basically talk about our favorite slow jams and turnups from yesterday and today. Usually it's like yesterday because we old. But do you have any favorite artists you listening to right now? If I popped open, I was about to say pop open the CD player. Wow. If
old. All right.
What's on your playlist right now? Is there an artist in particular?
Well, because I just got back from visiting my grandparents not too long ago, I feel like I've been listening to a lot of like soca and Afrobeats. So okay. Like, a lot of like Burna Boy, a lot of like Spin Al. Trying to think who else. I like WizKid too and Fuji Banton.
Okay.
But I would say like typically my go-to is like I love J. Cole. I like Daniel Caesar. I like Adele.
Okay.
Khalid, Kirk Franklin was here like a week ago, and I grew up on Kirk Franklin.
Ooh, favorite Kirk song.
Ooh, he doesn't miss. So
no,
like,
he really doesn't.
Honestly, anything like Because my mom loves Kirk Franklin, and like growing up, that was all we listened to in the car. And so like I've been to 2 Kirk Franklin concerts. Ooh. And literally he's like one of the artists that, like, I know every song you've ever made ever. So like, nice. I would say literally anything. Let's see. I'm trying to think anyone else. I love Coldplay, actually.
Ooh, okay. That's a good one. Ooh.
Right. They're coming to LA next year, so I'm like, I'm in there. Yeah, I like One Republic.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, honestly. Yeah.
That's what's nice, though. Like, none of those are bad.
Have you peeped the new Beyonce?
I haven't, which is a whole shame.
Okay. Well, okay, because I was about to say it.
It's okay. I wait. I always wait a week or two because I'm like, yeah, I know how everybody is. I finally listened to it. Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie. It's fire.
It is good.
It is good. Because I was gonna be if you check it, it's like house. It's hip hop house. Yeah. Yes, it's real fire. So cool. That's what's up. You gotta check that out.
Yeah. All right. So Simone, we're almost done. Again, I know it's been a long day for you. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us. I know it's been a long time coming. So what we do last for you, if there's anything you'd like to promote, anything you'd like to shout out, anyone you'd like to shout out, the floor is yours.
Ooh. I would probably just take the time to shout out my family, honestly. My parents and my brother and sister are like some of the best people. And like, I think just moving here to LA is like, I've loved it here. And there's also been like challenges too. I think that comes just like moving to a new place. And my family's always been a rock for me. And I'm so just like grateful and appreciative of them. And yeah. I love them very much. So yeah, I just want to shout out my family because I love them.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I emotionally texted my family the other day while I was moving, so it's fine. I feel that very deeply. So shout out to your family, faithful listeners, by the way.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
We really appreciate the Charlies. And as my dad would say, your brother picked the right fraternity. So because I saw the
phone. So. Lord,
because my dad will also probably listen to this, so I just want to put that out there. So, yeah.
All right, so we go shout out some of our 2 Cents family. So shout out to 2 Cents FC,
yes,
headed by Lord L and Ty, Boss Man Ty
and Amobi, who are all currently at the All-Star game.
Yes.
So, yeah,
the part of 2 Cents show, Can I Kick It, Yogi, and now in theory you and Jermaine.
Yeah,
did I just spill that out?
Yeah. I am part of Can I Kick It Now, yes.
Dreaming of Freedom, a part of Black Herons United. So Jermaine, Adi,
Kylie,
Kylie, the whole crew, FTC, Forticulture, Lamont, Grego. I'm gonna stop calling him Lamont.
You
Tony.
Are not.
Coach Tony, my bad. Grego, Devin, who is this? TK, Mark, Mayor Kane,
yes,
all these people, a bunch of people. Also shout out to Kaya McCullough, see you good sis, future Esquire.
She is in law school.
It's
real.
Walking 90,
yes.
Ebony Navidad.
you better say nice things to Ebony right now. Ebony Navidad,
Kyle, and Yogi, yes. And then our SBFC. Shea Butter Street Team, Nubia, Georgia, JG, roommate Alex, and also Ebony, who has started herself in the whole team in North Carolina, and everybody around the world. And then a shout out to our sponsors. You know, peep out our Patreon. You too could become a sponsor,
yes,
and enjoy future Shea Butter content. Shout out to Gal Pal Sports and Carolyn Needles,
yes,
for supporting us. And then, yeah, thank you again, Simone.
Yes.
It's been dope talking to you.
This has been great.
This has been fun. We are going to see you at the game tomorrow.
Yes.
Hey,
yeah.
Love
yeah,
we're, that.
If yeah, we'll in be Los Angeles. Tigres versus Angel City is tomorrow. Go catch it. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, y'all will hear this. Yeah, it'll be like you go this evening. when you hear this, because this is when you're gonna hear it. But anyway, yes. In between time, thank you again, Simone. And what we gonna do? We gonna stay hydrated,
stay melanated,
and we gonna make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated,
and we're gonna make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
Stay fresh, stay Black if you Black, or stay what, and support Black people. Do what you need to do. Have a great week. Peace
out.